With that, let's go ahead and open up again to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, seeking to really understand this foundational teaching of his. We want to know Jesus, and we want to be able to pursue him with all our hearts and minds, and we can understand the kind of people he wants us to be when we really dig into this message of his. Now, today, the passage we're going to look at is one that can be really challenging at times. It takes some careful thinking to see what Jesus is really saying here, and it reveals that all of Scripture is important to us. In order to fully commit ourselves to Jesus, every one of us needs to engage with the full Word of God, not just the New Testament talking about Jesus and what he's done, but the full Old and New Testament. And you can see Jesus starts to speak in ways that connect the Old Testament law and the prophets with himself in this next passage. So we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. We read 17 through 20. Here's what Jesus has to say as he continues this message. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, this passage, I think, must have weighed heavy on the people who were listening to it as he talked about the importance of living up to God's commandments and having a righteousness that surpassed the Pharisees. This passage raises several questions for me as I read it, and I wonder, what is it that Jesus is trying to communicate? First of all, what does it mean to say that he came to fulfill the law? Does that just mean he came to live in obedience to God, which we know he did? Is that to set an example for us, the way that we ought to be living, or is there something more to it? And if Jesus fulfilled the law, what does that mean for us in regard to this law? Because he says it will not pass away until all has been accomplished. And he emphasizes the need to uphold the law, to live it out and to share it with others. We say that the gospel tells us that we don't have to prove ourselves to the Lord by living up to the law, that God accepts us as we are with our sins. Is Jesus saying something different here? Or is there some requirement once we've been saved to now we're required to fulfill the law? I've certainly been around Christian churches that teach salvation that way. You need to live up to your salvation by proving your obedience to God's law. Is that what Jesus is saying? And then we get to the last part where he says, your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were known for their strict adherence to the law. How is an everyday person supposed to exceed their righteousness? I don't know if those questions come to your mind as you read those, but those are the kinds of things that come to my mind as I read this. And I kind of struggle through, what is it that Jesus is saying to us here? And how does this coincide with what we understand about the gospel? Or do we have the gospel message right? So let's take these things one step at a time. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. If you look in your Bibles, you may see that the law and prophets are both capitalized. That means he's referring to something that the Jews knew about. When they talk about the law and the prophets, they're basically talking about the Old Testament scriptures. The law is the first five books of the Old Testament that the Jews also call the Torah. And then the prophets is everything else. These are all the writings of prophetic people, whether they are people speaking about things to come, warning Israel of God's judgment, or whether it's the Psalms and the Proverbs, somebody speaking the word of God, declaring it, or even Jonah and Ruth and Job. Those are all prophetic words of God, somebody speaking God's message. So the Old Testament is all the law and the prophets. That's the official title that is often referred to. So Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish these things. He's not coming to wipe out all the old ways and set up a completely new system for following God. No, he came to fulfill what God had already given. And the word for fulfill in the original language means to complete or to perfect or to bring into full meaning. So Jesus came to complete or to perfect, to bring to fruition the law and the prophets. See, the Old Testament is not just a list of rules that we are meant to live by, to live according to God's way, to prove our devotion to him. It describes a covenant relationship between God and mankind. It describes God's character, describes his interactions and how he responds to man and his sinfulness. It describes this covenant in several different ways. It does contain God's moral law. And those are the rules for how God taught people to treat one another. It also establishes a foundation for the nation of Israel, for how they would interact with God using ceremonial practices and a sacrificial system for handling sin. So we have the ceremonial law. And then we have the prophetic messages spoken by the prophets about a future Savior and a coming kingdom. These prophets spoke about what was to eventually come. And Jesus fulfilled all these things. He perfected obedience to God's moral law, first of all. He did not sin. He lived in a perfect obedience to God. But he also completed the sacrificial laws. So all the sacrifices the Israelites were told to bring over and over again to cover over every sin that they committed. There's a writer in the New Testament says that the law or the sacrificial system was imperfect. Those sacrifices were not complete. They only covered over the sins that had already happened, but not the future sins. And they only covered over the sins of the person who brought the sacrifice. It was incomplete. Jesus completed it. He is the perfect sacrifice for all sin, for all time. And so that sacrificial system is done because Jesus finished it. And Jesus also accomplished and fulfilled the prophetic visions of the Messiah. He is the Savior of all mankind. He fulfilled all the prophecies about himself, and he accomplished the work that the Messiah was to do to save mankind from their sin. So Jesus fulfilled, perfected, and completed all these aspects of the law and prophets. But there's still more work to be done. Because Jesus fulfilled these things doesn't mean God's work is done here. And that's why Jesus went on to say that the law, not even the smallest letter, not even the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear until everything is accomplished. There is something else God is accomplishing in the world. And we know part of that now is this period of grace where he's calling people to himself to be transformed through the forgiveness of sin and Jesus and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, transforming their lives to follow him. But the law remains in effect until all is accomplished. What does that mean for us? What did Jesus mean when he said that whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be the least in the kingdom? But if you do them and you teach them to others, you will be called greatest in the kingdom. What does that mean for us? The law is still there, and it's still important. The first thing I notice in this is whether it does not say whether or not you will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. You know, he doesn't say if you disobey these commands and don't teach them to others, you're out. It says you will be the least in the kingdom. And if you do uphold them and you do teach them, you will be called greatest in the kingdom. This has to do with your standing in the kingdom of God, not your salvation. Will you be the least or the greatest? Jesus' sacrifice did cover over all of our sins. So we don't need to earn our way to God. We don't need to worry about proving ourselves to him. God knows that we are incapable of living in the same obedience that Jesus did. He acknowledges and accepts that. And Jesus is not denying or countering that there. He's just saying that this law is still important. And it's important for a number of different reasons. First of all, I want to just tell you, if you've never read through the books of the law, books like Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, I highly encourage it. Sometimes the God's law has kind of this mysterious, oh, this big list of laws that I must follow to obey. When you read through it, a lot of it is about how we treat one another. How do you care for each other? How do you put others first? How do you respect their property, their family? That's a lot of what God's law told people. How do you have relationships in a healthy way? When Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor, and all of these things fulfill the law, you see that clearly when you read through the law, that this is what the law is about. And it's fascinating to read. There are aspects of the law that are very challenging. I think that he was showing the Israelites through the laws that he gave that this is going to be hard for you, and you're going to fail. You are going to fall short. You're going to need me. But the law stands there because it serves a picture for us of what perfect holiness looks like, and we must not diminish that. If we go on and say, well, the law is done, Jesus fulfilled it, and we don't have to teach the law anymore, then we lose sight of what perfect holiness is, and we just descend into our sinful nature. We need to keep holding that standard out, as this is what God wants for us. This is what holiness looks like. This is what we ought to pursue, even if we know we can't get there on our own. It is never hopeless for us to get there. We can overcome sin. We can grow closer to God. We can be more obedient with his help. And we have to hold that standard out of saying, this is the way to go. We have to have a guide to show us what God wants. And so we continue to teach and uphold that law. The law also serves as a constant reminder for us of our need for Jesus. The New Testament writers pointed out that the purpose of the law was to show us our sin. And we need that. We need to say, look, yeah, I do fall short. We have to have that humility to come to God and receive the salvation that he offers. If we don't have that, we just live pridefully thinking that we're okay, and there is no salvation then. Right? We need the law to be before us, not only to point the way, not only to be an inspiration and a way to express our love to God, but to show that we're not there, that we need some help. We can't get there on our own. So Jesus is not now saying, I have fulfilled this, now you do the same. You must fulfill the law. No, he's saying, you need the law as your guide. You need the law as your standard. Don't neglect this law. And we know that there have been movements throughout history that try to neglect the law. We want to focus on God's love and grace and mercy and neglect the law, and that leads to a place where we enjoy all of God's goodness, but we don't challenge ourselves to live to God's standard. We just descend into living among sinful people just as they do. We need the law. We need to uphold the law. We need to pursue the law with all our hearts. And that's what Jesus is saying here. But then what does he mean when he says that we have to exceed or surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees? As I said, the Pharisees were all about God's law. They went out of their way to make sure that they were showing their obedience to law, and they would punish people for not being obedient to God. They felt that the other ruling religious groups had gone too far away from the law, and they had allowed the Jews to mix in with other cultures too much. So they were trying to pull people back into obedience to God. How do we surpass their righteousness? Well, the thing we need to understand about the Pharisees and what Jesus judged them on is that their righteousness was one that was focused on external displays of obedience. And then we kind of say, look at me. Look at these things that I've done. And they would point out the highlights and ignore the sin, their own sin. They would make themselves look righteous. They would talk about themselves in self-righteous terms, and they focused on their own self-righteousness. They still clung to the belief that they could earn God's favor through their actions, and they were more worthy than the people around them. They grew in pride, and their righteousness was just a surface feature. They failed to see their utter inability to live up to God's perfect standard. So they sought to make themselves appear better than they really were. And that's what self-justification often does. When we think that we can prove ourselves worthy, that we are somehow better than other people because we follow God's law more than they do, it becomes pride. It becomes surface level righteousness. And I am apparently missing the last page of my notes, so the Holy Spirit will take it from here. We don't want to have just a surface level righteousness. And what Jesus accomplished by fulfilling the law was to be able to kind of remove that from us. Living for Christ, living in the kingdom of heaven, is not about your displays of righteousness. It has nothing to do with your accomplishments. And it has nothing to do with your failures. And you see how Jesus takes that away by fulfilling the law. He's like, no, that doesn't matter. What matters is something deeper. What matters is something more significant. What matters is something greater. Where's your heart? Is your heart pursuing the Lord? Do you really desire to honor and serve him, or are you just looking to make yourself look good? That's the difference. That's the greater righteousness that Jesus is calling us to. You have to have a righteousness that's rooted in your heart. To want with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength to honor the Lord with your life. To pursue him. And that is what's going to make a bigger difference. When you hold up that standard and you see that that's what God wants for holiness, and you love him with all your heart, and you know that you have fallen short, you're going to want all the more to do everything you can to get there. To live fully for him. And you're going to beg him for the help to do it. That's how Jesus leads us into that greater righteousness. It's through that humility, that poorness of our spirit again. Of giving up on the idea that I can prove this, or that I have to be better than anyone else. Or the opposite, that I have failed and I am the worst and most miserable and unworthy. See, that surface, that self-righteous attitude doesn't matter anymore because Jesus fulfilled the law. What matters now is, do you love him? Will you pursue him with everything you have? And he will receive you. Whatever your state is, however good or bad you have been, he will take you if your heart is for him. He will welcome you in, and he will give you the strength that you need to pursue him. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. We are so thankful that he did. And we look to the law and the prophets as our guide because we love him. Let's be people who love and pursue him with everything we have. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord God, we do thank you for this new covenant that we live in, one that just removes that burden of having to prove ourselves, Lord, and it removes the pride of thinking that we're better than anyone else, Lord. You have humbled us. You've shown us that we are weak. But in our humility, you have not crushed and abandoned us. You have welcomed us. You have called us to something greater than ourselves, greater than we accomplish on our own. And Lord, because we love you, we give you all our lives, and we welcome your Spirit to guide us. We thank you that you have given us your law as a guide, that you show us what pure righteousness looks like. We want it with all of our hearts and minds, Lord. Give us the strength to pursue it, and may we gladly cling to Jesus as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.